I was listening to online the Jesus Image Conference that our girls had gone to. And I was listening to a pastor panel and or a panel of pastors sharing. And there was a statement that John Kilpatrick, Pastor John Kilpatrick, he's the one who pastored the Brownsville Revival. He's the one that was the pastor of the church there when the great outpouring took place that our missionaries all went to, and many of them got saved. Some got saved there, but many of them went there. Well, all of them went there, and it's where they met. They ended up going to Brownsville School of Ministry. But he made a statement. He said a word that when he said it, that was it. The Lord just took off in my spirit in a whole different direction. I finally just turned it all off because them talking was interrupting what I was hearing in my spirit, okay? The word was humility. And what he said was the root of the word humility is humus, H-U-M-A-S, which is dirt, soil, earth. Human is the word that is given to man. That's the word that we use for us. It says in Genesis 1, verse 27, that when God created man, he created him, male and female, he created them. The female was the man with the womb, woman. So you had the male man and the woman, okay? And he put them in a body made of flesh, made of dirt, actually, made of humus. And that's why we're called human. We are the man in dirt, the man in a flesh suit that is made from dirt, from soil, from the earth. I used to love to listen to Miles Monroe. He's an amazing, amazing teacher. And in my earlier days, I learned so much sitting under his teaching. And he shared how when there were scientists who did a study of the chemical composition of the flesh of man, and it has the same components, the same chemical components as you find in the dirt. Because our flesh came from the dirt, from the dust of the earth. Same thing with plants, same thing with the animals, because he said when God was creating them, he said, let the earth bring forth. So they came forth from humus also, from the earth also. You know, we hear the phrase, from the earth we came, and from the earth we return when we die. And in Psalm 103, I want to read this because, well, just because I love it. In Psalm 103, it says in verse 9, well, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. For he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities or has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. He remembers we are from dirt. We are from the earth. He remembers that. You know, when God created the angels, they are a completely different class of being than us. They're not the same class of being. And I don't want this to hurt anybody's feelings, but that's why when someone went to be with the Lord, they didn't become your angel. Angels are a whole different class of being than we are, than man. When he created man, he created man in his own image and in his own likeness, and then he put him in an earth suit, in a flesh suit. Number one, so you can function in this flesh earth world. And number two, this is the statement that John Kilpatrick made that floored me. So we would have the capacity to humble ourselves. He put us in humus so we would have the capacity and the ability to humble ourselves. Because the word humility comes from the same root as humus. Do y'all see that? Does that floor you? So now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in the constitution of the kingdom, the first statement he made about the constitution on the kingdom was, blessed are the poor in spirit, or the humble. They will inherit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right out the gate. Theirs is the kingdom. Who? Those who are humble. Those who are humble. Humble, whichever way you want to say it. The second thing is, so number one, the entrance to the kingdom is humility. Second, the way we come before the Lord is to humble ourselves. Humility is saying, I recognize my need for you. I recognize you're greater than me. I am dirt. I am of the dust of the earth. I am human. I need you, God. That's what humility is saying. Three, the way to repentance is humility. You know, to repent is to turn from my direction and go in his direction, a higher way. That's why it's repent. Go back to the highest place. Pent is like the highest place. We get our word, the penthouse. It's the highest room, the highest in the hotel or whatever. So to repent is turning from my direction and turning to his direction. So humility is saying, my direction is not okay. My direction is not okay. I don't know everything. Are y'all with me? You're the one who knows it all. And I turn from my direction and I humble myself before you. Number four, I must humble myself to receive his word. When we open up the bread of life every week in this house, I believe that our hearts should be humble before the Lord to receive of his word. And I believe that we should, in humility, respond to his word. I just do. I believe there should be a response to the word of the Lord. Is there a response when you're reading the word? I mean, when you dive into his word in your time at home, humility is like, wow, your ways are right. Your ways are truth. Your way is higher than my way, for sure. Everything about you. I don't know everything. You do, Lord. And I humble myself before you to receive of your word so that I can hear it and be changed and transformed by it, so that my heart and my attitude and my way of thinking can change to align with how you think. Amen. That's humbling myself before the Lord so that I can be changed, so that I can be transformed by his word. And now here's your Christmas message. I got that much. John chapter 1. I just care about what the Lord has to say. If it's Christmas, a message, yay. If it's not, it's still Christmas, yay. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, He was in the beginning with God. Who is He? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God became human. He took on flesh. Do you see that? Is that amazing to you? The very 100% God, okay? 100%. Yet He came and lived and dwelt among us in an earth suit for those years He was here. That's amazing to me. He took on flesh for me. He put on humus. And He was born in this world in a humble stable, in a humble manger. And then I want to read this to you from Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading from the Amplified, starting verse 5. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let Him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God, 100% with God, okay, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was something to be eagerly grasped or retained, but He stripped Himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that He became like men and was born a human. He humbled Himself to come. He laid aside all His heavenly glory to come and humbled Himself to do that. Was born in a humble stable, in a humble manger. And after He appeared in human form, He abased and humbled Himself still further and carried His obedience to the extreme death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, He stooped so low, God has highly exalted Him and freely bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. Wow. What a perfect and powerful example of what true humility looks like. And He calls us, the man with the capacity to humble himself. We have the capacity to humble ourselves. We are human. We can humble ourselves. He calls us to walk in humility, not only before Him, but before one another. You know what putting on humility looks like in walking in humility before one another? We know we have need of Him, right? Okay, to be sure we understand that one. But when I humble myself before you, I'm saying, I realize I'm not better than you. I too am human. Are you hearing that? I too am flesh. You are, and so am I. And I have need for you in my life. I have need for you in my life. 1 Peter tells us, chapter 5, to be clothed with humility. In other words, we are to put on humility as clothing. We're to wear humility. That clothing of humility keeps me from being prideful. It covers over pride, because man can be prideful. But wearing that clothing of humility, clothing myself with humility, keeps me from being prideful. Being prideful says I'm better than you. Being prideful says I'm smarter than you. I know more than you. I do things better than you. It says I don't need you. I got this. I don't need you. That's what pride would say. Humility says, I am human just like you, and I need you. Amen. I'm going to finish with this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is another thing about humility. 2 Timothy 2 verse 20, it says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what's the latter? Dishonor. Okay? If anyone cleanses himself from that latter part, dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife. And a servant, how many servants of the Lord do we have in here? A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps would grant them repentance so they may know the truth. So what we see here is, as well as these other parts that he just said we as servants of the Lord should walk in, our humility influences other people and can cause them to have a repentant heart when we walk in humility. You know, I think about the Filipinos when I think of that verse, because when our missionaries went over there, they noticed, and since we've been going over there, we have as well, the Filipinos are very, very humble people. Very humble people. And a lot of your Asian nations, the people are prideful. The Filipinos, I'm not saying no other nation is, I'm just saying the Filipino people are humble people. And what they saw that the Lord showed them was how the Lord wanted to use the Filipino people to impact the other nations of Southeast Asia, because they're humble people. And because of their humility, they would be able to make a very powerful impact on the other Southeastern nations, Southeast Asian nations. You see what humility can do. And the Lord told them that. And that was why they really wanted to raise up the Filipino people. That's why Eric Miller has stayed so dedicated to the Fire School of Ministry and so forth, to raise up missionaries. And they have many who are going, that are going. What I'd like to say to us this morning is, let us bow, let us humble ourselves before the one who took on flesh, because he took on flesh to redeem us. He did it to pay the ransom for us. He had to come be in flesh to redeem us. And so let us bow before him, the only one who could pay the price that was needed to redeem us. He was the only one who could. Let us put on humility and keep our hearts humble toward him always. What a foolish person to not be humble toward the Lord, right? That's a scary thought to me. But let's also keep humble hearts toward one another. Amen? Let's learn to have a humble heart one to another. We do have need of each other. We really do. We encourage each other. We strengthen one another. Whether you feel it or not, there's stuff going on in the spirit that you're not even aware of, but the Lord is. There's things that happen that help you and strengthen you and encourage you and help life to flow into you. We need one another. We help one another. I want us to keep this in our hearts during this Christmas season. We're celebrating the one who came and took on flesh, who took on humanity. So let's really humble our hearts during this Christmas season. Let's end this year with hearts of humility. And let's go into a fresh new year with humble hearts. Before the Lord and before one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you with such grateful hearts. Such grateful hearts. That you humbled yourself and became the perfect example to show us how to live with a heart and attitude of humility. In the middle of this world, we can still humble ourselves before you because you've given us the capacity to do that. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year. And as we lift up others who need encouraging, who need strengthening, who need maybe even comforting, we do it with such a humble heart of knowing, Lord, we just need each other. We just really do. With all the strife and division that's going on, even in the body of Christ, God, I pray that there would be a place of humbling our hearts before you and realizing, God, we need you. We needed a Savior. But we also need one another. We need to be a part of a body. And we need one another. Lord, I ask that you would join our hearts together as we humble ourselves, that you would join our hearts together and that you would join your body together in unity. As we've come together this Christmas Eve, we bring gifts of praise and honor to the King of Glory, the King of Heaven, Jesus Christ the Lord. And may we think about this all throughout our day, today and tomorrow, and even throughout this season and this year. Of the great gift that you gave us, and that we would continuously bring gifts of praise and thanksgiving and honor to your word and honor to your name. That we would consistently bring gifts of honor and glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus. May our lives become a praise that brings glory to you. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our extended family that's at Stewart Church Road right now in Michigan having a service. Holy Spirit, invade that place just like you did this morning. Oh, may your presence be rich there just like it is this morning in this house. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for angelic participation in our worship. Oh, we're a grateful people. We are so blessed because the presence of the Lord is in this place. We're such a blessed people. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Not only do we have God with us, Emmanuel, but now we have the opportunity for God in us through the new birth and your Holy Spirit coming to live and dwell in us. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful God you are. Father, I pray that if there's any traveling to be done or anything like that, I pray for your mercy over family members or even some of these who would be traveling. Even traveling around Goldsboro. Lord, we just pray for your blood to cover and keep and protect us. Lord, I pray for such blessing over every household, that every person would wake up tomorrow morning knowing we have the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all, eternal life from Jesus Christ our Lord. You have been so good to us, Father. May we wake up tomorrow morning so grateful for what you've given us. And we look around at our families. Oh God, we are blessed with children. And we're so thankful. So thankful for our families. So thankful for our children. So thankful for extended families. So thankful for help. So thankful for your peace over us. For the Prince of Peace has come. So thankful, Lord, for everything you are to us. And we give you glory and honor this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.